Let me get you to open the Bible to Matthew chapter 10. Verses 26 to 33 on page 815. If you would please stand. The reading from Matthew 10, verses 26 to 33. Jesus said, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." The word of the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be pleased to send your Spirit upon us, that you'd put far away from us all the distractions that would keep us from listening to you, that you would give us ears and hearts truly open to hear your word, Father, to believe it, to obey it, and to rejoice in it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please keep the Bible passage open. You'll find it on page 815. You'll also find it in the bulletin on page 8. And you'll also find on page 9 a little outline and a quote that I'm going to make reference to in a few minutes. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 to 33. I had a great week. I had some fun with my son and daughter-in-law and their little baby girl in Houston. I made a quick trip to Houston, drove down there and back, and really enjoyed all that. I came back and was happy to meet up for coffee with Ellen Grigsby. Many of you will remember Ellen. Ellen is still a member of MetroCrest, transitioning to membership at Park Cities, but she's still a member here, and she's been a dear friend of mine and Leslie's for many years. She has an interesting ministry. She works in the support of persecuted Christians. Previously with Open Doors, more recently with a ministry called Front Lines. Same idea, both ministries seek to support and encourage persecuted Christians. She came with two friends of hers, one of whom is a missionary who works with persecuted Christians in the Middle East and North Africa, and another missionary friend who works in India. He is himself Indian, and he came to sort of talk to me about what's going on in the world among persecuted Christians. And we had a very, very interesting conversation, I've got to tell you. One of the things we talked about was something called the World Watch List for 2023. For decades, Open Doors has produced something called the World Watch List. It records the 50 most persecuted places for Christians, where Christians suffer persecution most severely. Number 10 is Sudan. Number 9 is Afghanistan. Number 8 is Iran. Number 7 is Pakistan. Number 6 is Nigeria. Number 5 is Libya. Number 4 is Eritrea. Number 3 is Yemen. Number 2 is Somalia. And number 1 is North Korea. That is the most dangerous and risky place for Christians in 2023. And they talked to me about the ongoing reality of Christians who face severe challenges for their faith in Christ. In fact, according to World Watch 2023, 1 in 7 Christians in the world are persecuted. In 2023, 1 in 7 is persecuted. 1 in 5 Christians in Africa is persecuted. 1 in 5. And 2 in 5 Christians are persecuted in Asia. Persecution is an ongoing reality, and in real numbers, more people are persecuted today than ever before. Sitting here in Carrollton, you may not feel particularly persecuted. Let me tell you, that is the unusual anomaly of life in the United States in 2023. Many, many Christians in the world face the risk of death for doing what you and I are doing this morning. It's staggering, really, to think about the ongoing reality of that kind of persecution. Some face death, some face physical abuse and people hurting them. Many face employment difficulties. In many places, the danger is that they don't receive much-needed assistance. In parts of the world which are facing hardship, for instance, famines or wars, the Christians, because they're not members of the local religious establishment, they don't receive the assistance that others receive. So for their faith in Christ, they and their families suffer physical deprivation. So persecution takes a wide variety of shapes in 2023, and it is an ongoing reality. Well, there was a reality of that kind of thing in the first century as well. Far fewer real numbers, a far higher percentage. There weren't as many Christians, but they all faced various kinds of persecution, from the most serious to the kinds of deprivation and neediness that that Christians can face today. Christians then face hardship. They faced all kinds of persecution. So, this is our season to think about discipleship. It's our season to think about living in Christ. And so, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is dealing very specifically over an entire chapter with the reality of hardship in the Christian life. Not only is it true that most of us don't feel very persecuted sitting here in this room this morning. The fact is, in our theological context, in the theology that's preached and taught all around us, the kind of teaching that people are being taught in pulpits all across our country, Christians, sadly, are often taught that the Christian life is meant to be a life free of all fear. That they simply have nothing to fear because God's going to give them everything they want. And I was very sorry to hear these two missionaries say that that awful theology is being shipped to persecuted Christians in other parts of the world. They're being told that Christianity guarantees a life free of hardship, free of any kind of difficulty. Yet Jesus specifically tells his disciples, and through them he tells us, that we should expect hardship. That's not the anomaly, that's actually the usual. Hardship is the usual expectation. The anomaly is when there isn't hardship. So Jesus has words of encouragement to Christian disciples who knew what it was to fear. They knew what it was to be fearful, to face challenges, to face persecution. So Jesus here is telling us, he tells the disciples before us, the apostles, and he tells us through them, verse 28, have no fear of them, he says. The them is all the long list of persecutors that he's been describing in chapter 10, verses 1 to 25. Governors, kings, authorities, religious authorities, this long list of people who were actively against the Christians of the first century and became more and more against them. That's the them of verse 26. Have no fear of them, he says. And that's a very good word for you and me as well. It's a very good word for Christians at all times and in all places. Have no fear of those that persecute us. Jesus is not denying the reality of the persecution. He's not telling us the Christian life is going to be free of hardship. In fact, he's been telling us that we can expect hardship. But what he's saying is, don't be fearful of them. Don't let them affect your decision making. Don't let them silence your witness. Don't let them discourage you from being a faithful Christian, standing in your day, in your place, bearing faithful witness to Christ. Have no fear of them, Jesus says. In fact, down in verse 28, he says, don't fear them, because all they can do at the very worst is kill the body. Now, that's pretty serious. Killing the body, I think we can all agree, that's a very serious thing. But Jesus says, don't fear them, because that's the worst they can do. Don't fear them. Don't make your decisions based on fear of them. In fact, Jesus says, we should rather fear him, verse 28, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus shifts the equation. He takes it from the serious reality of mortal death, and he says, as serious as that is, there is something even more serious. There is the very even more serious reality of eternal death, of the reality of judgment. Jesus says, don't let those who can only hurt your body cause you to make decisions and not to persevere. Don't do that. Instead, make your decisions, live your life in light of an eternal reality, an eternal truth. And that is that there is a God who rules over the world and who sees and cares what we do. He's not looking for an excuse to blast us, but he is the one who reigns over everything. He is the one. He's the audience of one that ultimately matters. And Jesus is telling his disciples, as he tells us, that we should live our life and make all of our decisions in light of that reality, in light of that truth, not the other serious reality of suffering in this life, but the even more important, even more serious reality of eternal judgment. So Jesus says, have no fear. Have no fear. Do not make decisions based on the persecution of this world. It's a reality, but don't make your decisions based on that. Now, bear in mind, he's already told us to not be people who walk around looking for a fight. We're not called to be people with a chip on our shoulder who are constantly looking to get into fights and arguments. He actually tells his disciples that they are to be like wise as serpents, verse 16, and innocent as doves. There's wisdom there. We're meant to make our decisions and live our life wisely and with a kind of innocence, a transparency. So he says, do that. Make your decisions like that. We see it in his own life. We see it in his own life. Jesus didn't storm castles, and he didn't come in and pick fights with soldiers. He was wise. He had an innocence, a transparency about him. And you and I are meant to have those same qualities. But we are to make our decisions in light of the reality of God who sees us and is aware of all of our choices. And Jesus wants us to live our life and make our choices in light of that. Have no fear. The word for fear is, it's phobia, where we get the idea of being afraid of something. Jesus is saying, don't be man phobic. Don't be persecution phobic. Live your life in light of God. It's so surprising that again and again, Jesus warns his disciples that the work to which we are called will be hard, which makes it so surprising that you and I are surprised again and again when we find that gospel work is indeed hard. It's very difficult. Here at Metrocrest, we've got 34 years of experience of the reality of hardship. Christian ministry, life in Christ, the life of discipleship is a life that includes many challenges, much hardship, and even some persecution. I guess what should be really surprising is that those of us in this room can honestly think that being Jesus' disciple is easy. That being Jesus' disciple is something that we can be passive about, that we can coast through. That's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. The Christianity that Jesus tells us about, the Christianity which Jesus himself models, is a costly Christianity. It's being willing to make decisions and take positions that are costly and difficult. So have no fear, Jesus says. Fear distorts our proclamation of the gospel, which in turn distorts our expectation of the gospel, and that leads to misunderstanding about what Jesus promises, and we misunderstand what Jesus himself calls us to do. So we mustn't let fear distort our understanding, our expectations, or our ministry. I think that is such an important word for you and me in the year of grace 2023, as we enter a new year with all the very real challenges that face us, an economy that is very challenging, families that are facing economic hardship, all kinds of relational challenges. We had a wonderful session last Sunday talking about marriages. Marriages are under attack today. Taking a stand for Christ in the context of a marriage is something that requires courage and strength to consistently seek to live out the Christian life within the context of our closest, most intimate relationships. So Jesus says, with exclamation points, have no fear of them. It's interesting. He gives two perhaps surprising reasons why we should not be fearful. He gives two surprising reasons. Reason number one, he says, nothing will remain hidden. Look at the end of verse 26. Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of those who have material power over us, because nothing will remain hidden. I mentioned these two missionaries who came to visit earlier this past week. And I had a great visit with a man from India. In fact, I chatted with a few of you about what he told me. He was telling me that the 11th most dangerous place for Christians to live in 2023 is actually India. We have several people who have roots here at MetroCrest who are from India. And he was saying that across India, in recent years especially, there's been a growing and worsening persecution of Christians at all levels. Everything from hardship with jobs and hardship getting the things that people need in order to make it, that kind of persecution, all the way up to physical harm and even death. In fact, he told me a story that I'd not read about in any local papers. I've not heard anybody talking about this in the middle of wars and all the other things the media is obsessed with. What's happening in individual families and individual areas sometimes hardly makes it to the news. But very recently, there was a situation where a Christian man was killed in front of his wife for no other reason than that he was a Christian. He sought to love Jesus. He sought to be a Christian witness in his community. And by the way, he lived in an area which included a lot of Christians. But nevertheless, there were those who hated him for his faith, and they actually killed him not too long ago. No one heard anything about it. You know, one thing I've noticed is evil loves to hide. Evil flourishes in the darkness. Evil doesn't like people to pay it much attention. It wants to do what it does quietly. Sometimes it'll use terrorist-style information to scare people. But more often, evil hides, it lurks, it does what it does in darkness. And even when you do get the occasional headline, it's often lies and obfuscation, exaggerations, things that are distorted, because evil in its very nature hides, partly because of guilt and shame, partly to avoid punishment. And this will sound cynical, but in 2023, evil often hides because it's simply avoiding bad press. It's avoiding what the world will say, and so it hides. This man who died for Jesus on the other side of the world, his story, apart from a wandering missionary who's letting other people know, his suffering is unknown to the world. The world doesn't know about it. It all happened out of their sight. Well, Jesus actually says, don't be afraid, because everything that is hidden will be made known. Nothing that is covered will not be revealed. It will all be made known. Everything that happens will one day in eternity be made known. It will all be revealed. And actually, Jesus says that the disciples of Jesus are actually to tell it out, what we hear whispered, to proclaim on the housetops, what is told to us in the darkness to say in the light. Once again, you see the innocence of Christians. We're called to be transparent. We're called to be open and honest, not obfuscating, not lying, not deceiving, not distorting. We're to be people of light. And Jesus says, one day all things will be made known. So we don't need to be fearful. Whatever persecution, whatever hardship we face here and now, as real as it is, we're not to be fearful. We're not to be making decisions based alone on the reality of suffering, because one day everything will be made known and all things will be made right. Make decisions in light of that reality, brothers and sisters. Make your decisions at work, at home, at school, in all of your relationships. Make your decisions in light of the fact, not of the fear of what the world will say about you, but in light of the promise, one day everything will be made known. Don't be fearful. Be innocent. Be transparent. Be true, Jesus says to his disciples. So reason number one, don't be fearful, because nothing will remain hidden. Verses 26 to 27. And then he says, the other reason we should not be fearful, there's no need for us to be fearful, because Jesus says, we are of great value. Verse 30. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Verse 29, he talks about sparrows. There were sparrows in the temple. That was one of the things that people sacrificed. And this was a poor man's offering, the sparrow. Two for a penny. Jesus is saying that we are of far greater worth than the two little sparrows that were sacrificed to God. We are a living sacrifice to God. And you know how valuable you and I are? Not an offering of two sparrows. We're as valuable as the offering of the sinless Son of God. That's where our value comes from. You and I are that precious, that valuable to God, that Jesus made the perfect atoning sacrifice for you and me. So why would we be afraid of the powers of this world? If the sinless Son of God died for me, and he died for you, he died for us, we don't need to fear the powers of this world. However frightening they may appear in the moment, we remind one another and we remind ourselves that you and I are very precious to the King of the universe. The Father in heaven, Jesus says again and again. It's the way he refers to his Father in Matthew's Gospel. Our Father in heaven, the King who created everything, the King who rules over everything. That God loves us through Christ, in Christ. And so we make decisions in light of that reality. We aren't fearful because of that reality. Now, I will be the first to admit, most of us don't live our lives walking around thinking about these things. But you know, it's a really, really important thing to think about. It's a really important thing for us to think about every day. Because if we really take to heart what Jesus says here about being fearful, if we really take to heart what Jesus says here about our decision making and the way we live out our discipleship in the real world, if we really take to heart everything Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, it will make a difference. The way we behave at work, it will make a difference. The things we are willing to do to risk it all for Jesus, to live our life in light of that eternal reality and not simply the difficulties of this life, as very real and very serious as they can be. It's often helpful to consult experts on this. And this week, I spent a lot of time with a Scottish missionary named John Gibson Patton. Anybody ever heard of John Patton? John Piper wrote a famous book about John Patton. John Patton was a missionary, and he went to a place called Vanuatu. The way I know Vanuatu was there was an episode of Survivor, a whole series in Vanuatu. Well, John Patton went to Vanuatu as a missionary, and there were literally cannibals in Vanuatu when John Patton went in the late 1800s. He went as a young man, as a missionary from the Presbyterian Church. He went to a small island, Tana. In 1858, he went to Tana. In 1866, he went to Aniwa, two islands there in Vanuatu, and he witnessed to Jesus. Why did he go? He actually left a very prosperous ministry in Scotland. He was doing well. He had a promising job as a pastor in a growing church. And he left all of that to go to the other side of the world in the late 1800s, basically saying goodbye to his family for the rest of his life, as far as he knew. He went there. He saw enormous hardship. The people there didn't like him very much, and they made it known. His wife got sick. His family got sick. He lost his wife. He had hardship after hardship after hardship. It must have been so tempting to give it up, to go back and pick up where he left off, get out of ministry altogether, do whatever else he could do to make a living and not have to face the hardship that he faced. It's tempting to avoid hardship. It's tempting to look for an easier way to do things. It's tempting to not persevere. And John Patton wrote in his autobiography in great detail about the temptation that he felt. But he went back and he continued to minister and he continued to preach the gospel. He continued to talk about Jesus. He went back to Scotland. Then he went to Australia and he told Christians there about the ministry that God was doing, and they pitched in their money to support him and make it possible for him to go back to Vanuatu and to witness to Christ. And at the end of his autobiography, he talks about Vanuatu worshiping Jesus and the islands, Aniwa, coming to Christ. He was able to see the whole range of responses. He persevered as Christians stood with him and as they together persevered, bearing witness to Christ. And in spite of all the hardships, in spite of the death-risking persecution that he endured, he saw God accomplish great things. He ended his autobiography in these words, and they're in the bulletin. He says, "Reader, fare thee well. Thou hast accompanied me, not without some little profit, I trust, and not without noting many things that led thee to bless the Lord God, in whose honor these pages have been written. In your life and in mine, there is at least one last chapter, one final scene awaiting us. God our Father knows where and how. By His grace, I will live out that chapter. I will pass through that scene in the faith and in the hope of Jesus, who has sustained me from childhood until now. So that's a great testimony to persevere, to seek to stand and do the work that God has entrusted to us in Christ. I guess we all face that kind of decision. We all face that final few chapters where we live out our life. I, for one, want to live my life where faithfulness to Jesus is my top priority. I want our church to be a church that makes proclaiming Jesus, in spite of whatever hardship, be they minimal or be they terrible, whatever hardship we face, whatever difficulties we face, I want MetroCrest to be a church that boldly proclaims Christ, to bear witness to Him. Jesus finishes this chapter by saying, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. That is a great gospel truth. To make decisions that acknowledge who God is, that make decisions that trust Him, that make decisions that seek to glorify Him, that make decisions that are based in the Scriptures, not on what current tastes may be. To make decisions based on what the Bible tells us and to live that out. Jesus says, as we do that, He will also acknowledge us before His Father. If we fail to do that, if we don't heed His words of loving caution, if we don't persevere, well, He tells us that leads in a very, very bad direction. Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. His words aren't meant to be an empty threat. They're not meant to terrify us. They're meant to motivate us. They're meant to stir us in love to proclaim and to do and to live our life in light of Christ and His gospel. That's my prayer for myself, my family, our church, that we would be a place which exalts Christ, that every decision we make is to exalt Jesus and to see Him glorified.